So this is, it's a good topic to discuss because it's a gateway to sort of elaborating on some of these fundamental principles of why we do things in the morning. So let's take a look at some of the issues of when it stays up all night. So for starters, we've probably all experienced this once in a while, of staying up all night either for Shavuos or if you have a big final in college or whatever, you want to pull an all-nighter. So you ever notice what goes on in shul when people stay up all night?
Someone else has to make brachos.
Right, so someone else makes brachos. Right, so is that really necessary? Is it really important that someone else should make all the brachos? Really, we have people mamish making all the brachos. Now, this is not something that we really want to do, mostly because people have, you know, fairly short attention spans, and it's hard for them to really pay attention to that many brachos at one time and have in mind to be yotzei and answer amen to all the brachos. So generally speaking, although there is a concept of barav am hadras melech, nevertheless, it's not something we set out to do on a regular basis, to have people make lengthy sets of brachos or long, you know, benching. Really, the ikar way to bench is that if you have a zimun, that the mezamein should say the whole benching out loud, and everyone else should either say along with him or follow along with him and answer amen.
One time benched for the kid who was in tribe, was like Taimani. So he benched in a zimun with him, and I led the benching, and I was like, he's like, just say it out loud, I'll answer amen, that's all you need to do.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do that anymore because we have trouble paying attention to such long things. All right, there are other Rishonim that don't learn that way. The Rush seems to indicate that it's actually appropriate to say each word along with the mezamein.
Kriya
Satorah, you're not supposed to say every word along with the Balkori per se.
If you're the Ola is different
because the Ola is the guy who's supposed to be reading the Torah. That's different. So you're supposed to actually read the Torah. Just you don't know how.
Right.
No, that's different.
The same thing with benching. Being Yosef Terim is different.
So the Rush doesn't learn benching fundamentally the same way as the other Rishonim who say you're actually just supposed to listen. That's it.
Oh.
So, okay. But the point is that you're really not supposed to listen to a lot of brachos. And you should make your own bracha because that way we know you actually did it and you paid attention to it, etc. Okay, so we don't try to do this. So how many of these brachos do we really need to be yotze with other people and other nafkaminas? So the first thing people do when they wake up in the morning is they wash netilas yadayim, right? We call it, in Yiddish, we call it negel vaser, right? So it's a little bit different than the average netilas yadayim that we do, right? We wash three times alternating as opposed to two times on each hand, consecutively. So what is the reason why we wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning?
Yadayim Askanios or
Rosh.
Right, so we have three basic reasons that are mentioned in the Rishon. So the first one, is, as you pointed out, was the Rush. The Rush has the line, it was bolded in the original. I tried to do that, but it didn't come out well in the printout. Yadayim l'fishi yadav shel adam askanios heim. Right, a person's hands are busy. Right, in those days they used to not wear pajamas. They slept most people slept naked, and generally speaking, it was v'i efshar shelo liga bevasar hametunaf balayla. It's impossible that to know for a fact that you didn't touch a covered part of your body during the nighttime, meaning you're moving around at night if you ever see somebody sleeping. So there are definitely times at night where they're perfectly still, and there are times at night where they're moving around. So it's impossible to say that they didn't touch a part of their body that was supposed to be covered, and therefore that they would be chayev to wash their hands if they wanted to make brachos, if they wanted to say kriya shma, if they wanted to daven, which are all things that we do upon waking up in the morning. So it's not a suffik bracha because the chachamim said that this you have to wash the Netilas Yadayim in the morning with a bracha. The Rush actually holds that you'd be chayev to wash for all the tefilos.
Yeah.
Right. He holds you're supposed to wash with a bracha for all the tefilos.
So you mean one before for all the tefillos.
When you wear your daven mincha, you should go wash your hands with a bracha. Alantil sedayim for mincha. Alantil sedayim for ma'ariv. Assuming you daven, you don't daven like a mincha ma'ariv minyan.
There are people but, hold by that, right? Because I mean, I've seen.
I don't
people,
think anybody washes with a bracha.
No, so I've seen people wash before tefillah.
Yeah, there's certainly an inyan. I mean, some people disagree. They say nowadays our pre-washed hands are so much cleaner than any post-washed hands existed in the times of the Rishonim. It's not, you can't compare the level of cleanliness of our hands and our bodies to the way things used to be.
But a lot of it can also be symbolic, like just getting into the mindset of like.
Right, but that's not what the Rosh is saying. The Rosh is saying, yeah, it's Yadayim Askanah Hashem. It's a very practical reason, and therefore there is a din. You have to wash your hands. If they are ever unclean, right? And he points out, he quotes the pasuk that helps. He says, "Dechsev erchatz minikayon kapai," right? And it's the rest of it's basovu mizbachacha, right? In other words, before I go to the mizbeach, I'm going to be mekadesh my hands. And what you're talking about is much more along the lines of the Rashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba has a different reason. It's known as the reason of bria chadasha, right? That you're a new creation. That you're every morning you're considered like a new creation. And he gives the example. He says, just like the Kohen, before he goes to do the Avodah, he already just came out of the mikvah. Kohen about to ascend to the Harabayas, or he's about to go into the Zara, right? Even if he's already on the Harabayas, he's in, what do they call it, the Beis HaMoked? I forgot where they used to sleep at night. And it's a Mishnah in Masechus Tamid. So they used to sleep, and he'd wake up in the morning, he would go to the mikvah, and then he would come into the Zara to do the Avodah. It wasn't, he's as pure halachically as you can get. What would he have to do then? He would have to wash at the Kiyor. He would have to wash his hands and feet at the Kiyor. In addition to going to the mikvah, he's 100% Tahor, but he's not yet ready to do the Avodah unless he washes hands and feet by the Kiyor, even though they're completely clean. Because that's a higher level of Kedusha when you're going to do the Avodah.
So people go to the Harabayas.
I don't know.
They make a bracha when they go up?
You can't make a bracha when you go up. What do you mean? To go to the Harabayas?
Like a creation from Hashem? Like separation?
No. I don't think so. It's not like a natural wonder of the world.
Yeah, but like, even like the Hoover Dam, don't they say some people make a bracha?
Like yeah, God, do they?
I don't know. It's like God's ability to give bracha.
You go like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or whatever, you can make a bracha there. But
Hoover Dam is man-made.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It could be that they do, but I'm not aware of it. So the Rashba is saying that's us in the morning symbolically. Obviously, we don't wash our feet, right? It's like a zecher sort of. It's a derabbanan version of the din d'oraisa that when a kohen goes to do the avoda, so you're supposed to wash your hands and feet. So too, when a Jew wakes up in the morning, he has avoda to do. He has to say Kriya Shema. He has to daven. And therefore he washes his hands in order to be ready to do his avoda to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. He's like a new avoda every day. That's what they call the Briya Chadasha, that he's a new creation ready to serve Hashem. So he has to also wash his hands. And the third reason is cited by the Tur, based on the Gemara and Shabbos and the Zohar, that right, he writes you should be careful to dafka pour it on three times. Right? And he says that's where the three times comes from. The reason we wash differently in the morning versus the rest of the day is only because of the other aspect of Netilas Yadayim, which is the Ruach Ra. Ruach Ra is somehow when we're sleeping, our body is filled with the simplest way to explain it, I think, is based on the Ramban on Chumash, where he says that Tumah comes from unrealized potential. So when you're sleeping, part of your Neshama goes up to Shemayim, so your body is sort of a little bit of an empty case for the full neshama, and therefore, you're still alive. You have your ruach. You're not your ruach. What do they call it? The nefesh. Your nefesh is still inside of you, but you don't have your neshama. That's why we say elokai neshama shenasatavi tahorihi. You gave me back my pure neshama. That's that part of the soul is not touched by earthly matters. Like the neshama goes up to shemaim, and comes back. So that void is filled with this ruach ra, and then when the ruach ra leaves the body, the remnants of its tumma are on the hands. Yeah, I don't claim to know what that means, but that's what the Zohar says, and they have a name for it. I've got the name of it. It's a very nice name for the ruach ra. It's
like
I can't. It's like a colloquial term. It's like I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's a cute name that the ruach ra has. But no, not evil spirit. For some reason it's not sticking in my head right now. But
what's the difference between a nefesh and a neshama, example? Say nefesh stays with you, neshama goes up. Like, if I were to translate, a soul versus a physical.
There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that says that there are five parts to the soul. There's the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida. Those are the five parts of the human soul. So the simplest way to understand it is the nefesh is the life force. Even animals have that. And then there's the ruach, which is the bridge between the neshama and the nefesh. The ruach is generally understood to be the power of speech. It's you have the ruach is different in humans, where humans have a neshama, certain animals don't, and therefore you need this ruach to sort of bridge the gap between the higher soul and the earthly soul, earthly life force. And then the chai and the yichida is like fancy stuff for fancy people. I don't know what that is. But that's actually a medrash. It's not some esoteric Kabbalistic writings that say it. But those are the five parts of the soul. So in case you ever, take again, I don't think you can point to them on a board with a laser pointer, but that's the idea that Chazal lay out for us. But the neshama, that's why we always say the neshama is Torah, because the neshama is not affected by anything that happens in this world. The neshama is, meaning we say, I'm not such a great guy, and my neshama is not so pure. Like, what? No, your neshama is always pure. It's the nefesh and the ruach that might not be so pure, but your neshama is always pure. That's why, the concept that a Jew can always be closer to tshuva right away, because he has that neshama Torah, and it's there for the taking if you can just access it. So, okay. So these are the three reasons we wash until Tilas Yadayim in the morning. It's interesting to note that the reason we pour three times is because of the Ruach Ra, but the Ruach Ra doesn't require any of the halachos of Tilas Yadayim. You could just, if it was just to get the Ruach Ra out, you could just run your hands under a faucet three times each. You don't have to have a kli, you don't have to have koach gavra, you don't have to have any of the halachos of Tilas Yadayim per se. So that's important to keep in mind if you're stuck. But the reason you have to wash your Tilas Yadayim right away is to get rid of the Ruach Ra. The reason you'd want to wash your Tilas Yadayim later is that the real reason you're washing is to do your avoda, either for Kriya Shema or Kriya Shema and Tefillah, or because you're a Briya Chadasha that you want to get ready to daven properly. So the concept of washing very quickly upon awakening, right? I don't know if anybody does this, but you have some people that keep the Netilas Yadayim right next to their bed. So I used to do it till I had a kid. I figured, like, once I had kids, that I would wake up with the Netilas Yadayim poured on top of me. Right.
For my roommates in Yeshiva.
Yeah, so that's only because of Ruach Ra. That's only because of Ruach Ra. That's not because of the other reasons given in the Rishonim, because you're not supposed to be mashe Ruach Ra on your hands any longer than is necessary. So that to remove the Ruach Ra right away. So let's say you're quickly, you don't have an Atilas Yadayim right next to your bed, but you want to be fast about it and you don't have a cup. So there's nothing wrong with just turning on the faucet and just running your hands underneath it six times to get rid of the Ruach Ra. That's for sure allowed. It's much better to do that and to hold out on the regular Netilas Yadayim until later you would never make a bracha on Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra was not the main reason for the Takana. Ruach Ra is just the reason we do it six times. It's not, the reason for the Takana was either like the Rush or the Rashba. That's not why we make the bracha.
I'm from Israel. So it's like, it's worked well in Yeshiva. There's the thing in Israel that Leonard Bain taught us about. It's like the way they do like water, like the way they do like the water, like faucet running, is like a little like a on top of the roof of like buildings. You have
The Dud Shemesh.
So basically, he's saying you completely could make the bracha on the yotzei as long as you turn the faucet on, off, on, off, on, off.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the roof versus anything else. That's koch gavra. Oh, is it because it's considered a kli?
Even without that, you could be mikol.
No, if you're using the cold water, it's not coming out of the hot water.
Either way, it's not a problem.
I would go into the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, but you wouldn't have to do that. What I'm saying is,
go outside and wash the soap.
Right, I understand, but you don't have to. Meaning, you wouldn't even have to do that anyway.
You would with a bracha though. Like
with a bracha, if you're stuck. So you should do that. You should turn it on and off. Same thing for Netilas Nedarim.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you have like a water cooler like this, where or a water fountain, where if you're not holding it down, it doesn't come out. That's also considered koach gavra. If you're, it's in the post can talk about it. It's hasaras hamoneya. It's your there's something blocking the flow. Meaning, what's the water's? It's not the same as let's say you would just take a bottle and turn it on its side and then let it pour out. That's not called koach gavra. If you would then let it pour onto your hands. But if you're constantly removing the... So for that, there's a tshuva in the Dvar Avram where he says this, that if you remove the moneah for a second, that initial rush is considered koach gavra. But anything that comes afterwards would not be. So that's why they tell you to do it that way. To like go on, off, on, off, on, off. But like and with the water coolers, you're constantly being most of the moneah. You're holding the button down. I'm not talking about electronics. I'm talking about just... with actual, you know, you're actually removing the impediment to the flow constantly, so it would be considered koach gavra the whole time, right?
Could
not with a faucet, it wouldn't be because it's the pressure that causes it to come out.
Could it be different, like a water fountain over there, because the water's going upwards? Like, does the direction matter at all? Like here, the water's coming down like a regular washing cup. Here,
no, it doesn't matter because it's the pressure that causes it to come out. But it's the reason it's able to come out is because you are removing the impediment constantly. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you're holding it down. If you would let go, it would snap back into place, and then it would be the flow would stop.
Mm-hmm. Another question: water fountains here on Shabbos?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. It's a Metzias question. It's not a.
The one right outside.
I'm saying, how does it work?
I think it's electric because houses that have pressure go up.
No, that's not.
That's not sensors in the water bottle.
Oh, so obviously the sensors, you don't use the sensors on Shabbos.
No. The problem I heard is it says over there like how many bottles you've saved.
Yeah.
And I think if you use both either the sensor or the regular one, it keeps like counting how many bottles you've saved.
Yeah, that would be called it's probably more than a Dover Shana Miskavin. It's probably a Psik Resha Delo Nichale. Which,
isn't it the Nichole?
Why, you care how many bottles they write on the
say,
you care what the number says?
I think more than Nichole is the water you're benefiting from.
No, the water is not, you're not doing any, the Psik Resha is that the display changes. So you're causing the display to change. There's a lot of room to be Mekel B'Shas Hadchak on a Psik Resha. The low nichale on a dinder rabbanon, but lechatchila we're machmir. We don't do a psik resha low nichale even on a dinder rabbanon. What?
Camp should like say like something.
It's just unplug it. Is it plugged in?
Yeah.
Just unplug it. You can still drink from it once it's unplugged. It's just hooked up to a pipe.
So
saying the water fountain itself is just a sink.
Yeah,
just unplug it so the water won't be as cold. Because of the refrigeration part won't run.
So we're gonna forget to plug it back in.
Okay, so then it'll be a little bit. You have some warm water. So it won't kill you. It'll be like turning on the faucet and drinking water. It can be done. I've seen it. You know, this is water is better because it's actually filtered. So
could that be a problem? No,
because
it just goes through the water.
The water filters are not considered a problem because it's not considered a problem of borer if you would have drunk the water anyway. Meaning, I prefer it if it has filtered, but if not, I'd still drink it. So then, that's not considered borer. Meaning, then the stuff you're filtering out doesn't get an objective status of psolus. If you're dafka taking it out because you mamish don't want it and you wouldn't drink it, without it, so then that's considered psolus, and you can't remove that on Shabbos. But if it's not considered psolus, because you just say, like, I'd rather not have it, but I certainly would drink it. If it wasn't filtered, I'd still drink it, then that's mutter on Shabbos. All right. But yeah, just unplug the water fountain. It's not...
You got that water fountain?
Right. It's very simple. It's Some there are things in life that are a problem that are very hard to solve. That is not one of them. Yeah. I mean, the question with regular water fountains that don't have sensors is a little different. It's like it depends on the mitzias. If you have a water fountain that every time you push the button to let the water out, then the motor starts. So obviously that you can't use on Shabbos. But if it's just one of those things that it's like a refrigerator, sometimes it's running, sometimes it's not, so then you just have to check the mitzias. Is my turning on the water, like taking water from a cooler on Shabbos, same thing. If my taking water is going to cause the refrigerator to turn back on, so then that would either be a davar shena miskaven or a psik reisha, depending on how consistent that really happens, So that would be one aspect of it. And also, if it would be already on, sometimes you can hear the motors running.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're for sure allowed to use it because then it's just your usage is just going to continue the status quo. It's just going to have the motor go on more. Like, let's say you have a air conditioner with a knob, not with electronic display. You have a knob on the air conditioner, so you can if the compressor is on the air conditioner, and it's, let's say, it's set to 7 out of 10 on the knob, so you can turn it to 10 out of 10 at that point, even though it'll keep it running longer because you're just maintaining the status quo. Like I just heard the compressor go on now, so if that would be on and you heard that, you could turn the thermostat up, because you're just continuing the status quo. Or the flip side, if you heard the compressor go off and you don't want it to get any colder, you could turn the thermostat down at that point. You just can't cause the change. Mm-hmm. So if the refrigerator motor is already running, you could open the refrigerator and leave it open as long as you want, because you're not causing any change. You're just causing the motor to run for longer. Anyway, that's regular water fountains and water coolers, mm-hmm. as opposed to this one has that additional issue of the sensor. That's you can't really solve that problem so simply. Anyway, all right. So back to this. So we were halacha la halacha based on Atilas Yadayim. So if you look in the source on the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Dalid Sif Yud Gimel Im Haya Neur Kol Halayla Yesh Listapik Im Tzarich Lito Yadav Shachris Lispalal Ula Havi Ruach Ra'a Me Yadav. So he says, the suffix, what to do? Do you have to remove the Ruach Ra? Is this Ruach Ra considered to come at night, or it's Tafka if you sleep? Right? So that's a question. Right? So we don't know what to do. So the Ramah writes, V'yitlein below bracha. You should wash Atilas Yadayim without a bracha. Right, so this is why the minog is in shuls to have somebody get up there and make the bracha of Atilas Yadayim. But everyone else in the shul should have gone and washed Atilas Yadayim. Right?
When you say Atilas Yadayim, you mean 6 times or 4 times?
6 times. If we're worried about the Ruach Ra, it has to be 6 times. So the Mishnah Brura here, I'm not going to read them all inside, but it's kedai to check it out. The Mishnah Brura here points out there's a much simpler solution than washing without a bracha. He says, basically, according to the Rush, you would be chayav to wash with a bracha once it's time to daven and say Kriya Shema if your hands were actually dirty. So the whole point is, well, I was up all night, I was learning, I was studying for my finals, whatever it was, playing in the 3-on-3 3-on-3 tournament's a good example, meaning your hands are not going to be clean by the time the basketball game is over, right? Whatever, I'm just, let's pretend.
All right.
Okay, but I'm saying, so your hands are in the hockey gloves and they're all smelly and gross. So, of course, you're chayav to wash Atilas Yadayim at that point, Meikar Adin, according to the Rush. Your hands are a heck of a lot dirtier than if you just stop wake up in the morning, So there you'd be chayav to wash with a bracha, according to the Rush. So he says a very simple solution. When you wake up in the morning, when you're ready to daven, it's let's say it's Shavuos night, and you're ready to start Birchas HaShachar. So go to the bathroom, use the bathroom, make sure your hands are chayiv in Netilas Yadayim, and then you can, according to the Rush, you can wash Netilas Yadayim with a bracha. What about the Rashba? You wouldn't be chayiv to wash Netilas Yadayim according to the Rashba per se, because maybe you're not called a Bria Chadasha since you didn't go to sleep. So he says, because the Pashtus and the Beis Yosef is that the Rashba's Shita, yes, Bria Chadasha is the reason why they made the Takana, but that's not the Takana. The Takana is every morning you wash Netilas Yadayim. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter whether today you are a Bria Chadasha or not. It's what we call a low plug. You just, every morning, you wash Netilas Yadayim because you're ready to do your avodah anew, even though you didn't actually sleep. So the Pashtus is, the Rush would hold you definitely chayav to make a bracha. The Rashba would hold you probably chayav to make a bracha. And therefore, if you put yourself in a situation where your hands are actually unclean before davening, you should go. So he says, go to the bathroom, wash your hands, and say al netil sidayim and asher yotzar, and then you're ready to go. So there's really no reason to have to be yotzei al netil sidayim with someone making the bracha for you. That's step number one. The Mishnah Berurah sort of solves that problem by giving you this good piece of advice. Okay, how much time we have here? 5 minutes. All right, so we'll talk. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But basically, Tosfos is the next subject we want to talk about is Birchas Torah. Birchas Torah is a discussion. If you didn't sleep, are you supposed to make a new Birchas Torah in the morning? Right. Obviously, we wake up in the morning. We make Birchas Torah. There's a question: what is the nature of Birchas Torah? It's a longer discussion, but the short version is that is Birchas Torah a Birchas Mitzvah? That when you learn Torah, you have to make a bracha, just like when you shake lulav, you have to make a bracha. When you matzah, you have to make a bracha, right? So too, you'd make Birchas HaTorah before you learn Torah, and therefore, anytime there would be a significant hefsik in between the bracha, in between the one doing the mitzvah one time and doing the mitzvah again, so you'd have to make a new Birchas HaMitzvah, right? Tosfos in brachos, this is like one of the main Tosfos dealing with the subject of Birchas HaTorah. So Tosfos asks the kasha. He says, wait a second. If I go into the sukkah and I come out and then I go back into the sukkah, I got to make a new leshei basukkah. But nobody makes a new Birchas HaTorah. Meaning, let's say I wake up in the morning, I go into the sukkah to have breakfast. So I make a leshei basukkah. Then I go to work. Then I come home. I go into the sukkah for dinner. I make a leshei basukkah. So he says, I wake up in the morning, I go to the daf yomi, and I say Birchas HaTorah. I go to work, I come home, I go to the night seder, and then I gotta make a new Birchas HaTorah. Same exact thing. So how come nobody does that? How come nobody makes a new Birchas HaTorah? So Tosfos, that's the kasha he has over here. In Tomer, Maishnami Sukkah, Shetarach Levarach, I'll call Su'udo Su'udo, Leishi B'Sukkah. V'yishlomar, the shiny Torah. Torah is different. She'eno Miyayish Daito. It says you never really completely abandon Torah from your thoughts. The kol shah adam mechuyav lilmod dichsiv agisa b'yam v'alayla. So he says you're always chayev to learn. So he says therefore it's like v'havi kamo yoshev kol yom b'lo hefsik. Right. So he says that it's like you sat the whole day without any real hefsik. So it's a whole question. What does Tosfos really mean over here? Because the lashon is kol shah adam mechuyav lilmod. You're chayiv to learn all the time. Meaning if I'm at work and then I have a client and he cancels and I don't have to meet with him for the next hour, so what should I do? I'll take out a chumash, I'll take out a gemara and I'll sit and learn a little bit. You know? But is it the chiyuv or is it the actual thought process? Meaning
desire.
Is it the fact that, in other words, he's contrasting with sukkah. He's saying that I'm in the sukkah because that's where I quote unquote live, but I don't always stay where I live, right? I go to work. I go to the office. That's not where I live at home. I go to the office. If I'm in the office, someone says, where do you live? So I'm not going to say here at the office. I mean, hopefully, But I don't say I live at the office. I live at home. I go to the office. I spend a lot of time there. But that doesn't make it my home, right? So too, a person, you know, goes to the sukkah. He's not leaving his home, but he's completely mafsik from being there because he knows every day I go to the office, right? But my home is still my home. So when I go back there, there was a hefsik, and now I'm back because it's not time for me to be home. Right, it's time to be away from home, but that doesn't change my home. Torah, it's different. There's no like official time that I'm not supposed to learn Torah now. It's not appropriate to learn Torah, right? It's appropriate to always learn Torah. It happens to be there's going to be times where I'm not learning Torah, but it doesn't mean it's not the time to learn. Like someone says, well, what about 3:35 p.m.? Is that an appropriate time to learn Torah? Sure, if you're not doing anything else, like if I'm at work. Then I'm not. It's not the appropriate time to be learning Torah. But there's nothing inherent about that time of day or whatever where it's just like not time to be learning. So that it could be that's just what Tosos means. That like the chiyuv is constant. It's not like being at home. There's no constant chiyuv to be in the sukkah because there are times where it's completely appropriate to be away from home, and that's normal. It's not normal to be completely out of the realm of Torah. Meaning, it's just as appropriate to learn Torah at any given time of day, anywhere on earth, as opposed to being home. There's certain times where it's appropriate to be home. There's certain times appropriate to be away. It doesn't change where your home is, but it means that, like, I'm not home right now. You don't say, like, I'm not chayiv in Torah right now. I'm out of the game. You know, you're still chayiv to learn Torah. It just happens to be, for whatever reason, you're not learning right now. You have something else that you need to do. So that's l'chora the way you can learn the difference in Tosfos. So it's not about the hefsik. It's about the fact that there is no specific time where it's not time to learn, right? The Rush words it a little bit differently. The Rush says that he says because like you're thinking about halachos all the time, like you're at business, you're thinking about the halachos of how to properly do business. You know, the joke is that like say like oh if you want to learn you want to learn in yeshiva, you learn Gemara and Or Chaim, and then if you want to become a rabbi, you learn Yoredeya, and like if you want to become a dayan, you learn Chosh and Mishpat. Right, the irony is, if you want to become a Bala Bas, you should learn Choshen Mishpat. Like that, you actually need to know it a lot more than the rabbi does. You're involved in business, you know, all day, so you should know that halachos of business much better. So a person who goes to work, he's thinking, oh, I wonder what bracha I'm supposed to make on this. I wonder if I'm supposed to. This is the halacha. How are you supposed to deal in this business dealing? So that guy, see, he looks at it as a more practical way. It's like the person is not. He still thinks about Torah over the course of the day. He doesn't necessarily have to be chesmening, oh, I know the answer to the Ketosis Kasha, you know, but like he, just basic Torah ideas, he's constantly thinking about Torah. You know, whereas Tosfos says, it's not about what you are actually thinking about, it's about, you know, what you're chayev in. Like, it's not, there's no official break in the action because if you would have some free time in the middle of the day, you could chop a Mishnah, you could chop a, you know, a parak of Nach or whatever, and like that's why it's not considered a hefsik. All right, so we'll try to play this out as to how it works for staying up all night.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Have a great day, guys.